This is episode 221, How to Get Started with Automation.
Welcome to the Paul Miners Podcast, the show that will help you to optimize your time, income, and lifestyle fast. Get more done with actionable, easy-to-follow advice and learn how to live life on your terms. And now, introducing your host, Paul Miners.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Paul Miners Podcast, episode number 221. As always, I want to start by saying thank you for tuning in to this episode. I know how valuable your time is, so it really does mean a lot that you're taking a little bit of it out of your day to listen to this episode. And today, I am talking about automation. If you know me, if you've followed me for a while, you might know that I'm a big automation geek. If there's something I can automate in my business, I will try my best. I'm a big fan of using technology to try and save me time and make my job more efficient. So that's what I'm talking about today. If you want to get access to the show notes and some of the links and things mentioned in this episode, you can find those at paulminers.com/221. So automation is, I think, one of the most effective ways of saving time and getting more done is if you can automate repetitive parts of your work. And if you can use technology to actually do parts of your job, not only do you save time, but I think you increase the accuracy of certain processes as well by removing the potential for human error to occur. A good example of that is like data entry. You know, if you're having to copy data from, let's say, a sales CRM into an accounting program, you know, there's always a chance that you might copy things in incorrectly. If we can set up a process, an automated process to do that, not only does it save time, it reduces that opportunity for human error to occur as well. And as my business has grown, I've automated as much as I can, really, and it's extremely satisfying when things seamlessly happen around you. Just knowing that stuff's happened behind the scenes to keep my CRM up to date, keep subscribers up to date, and do bits behind the scenes, it really is a very cool feeling. If you've never done any automation before, then stick with me, and I'm going to help you get started. And today I'm going to be sharing some tips for just how to get started thinking about automation. And I'm going to write a part two blog post and do a part two podcast, which I'll publish next week, where I'll talk more about some of my favorite automation tools. But between now and then, if you do have feedback for me, if you have questions, head on over to the show notes, paulminers.com/221. Drop me a comment in there, or if you're on my newsletter list, send me an email. You can reach me on Twitter. Let me know what you want to learn about. If there's specific tools, if there's specific questions you have, let me know, and I will do my best to include those in next week's episode. So let's start by talking about what you should automate. This is probably the trickiest thing with automation, is not even knowing how to, create the automation. It's identifying what to automate in the first place, because it's a bit of a chicken and the egg situation. You're sort of thinking, well, I don't know how to automate things, and because I don't know how to automate things, I don't know what even can be automated. And because I don't know what can be automated, I don't even really have a way of learning how to do it. So clients come to me all the time and they say something along the lines of, you know, can you help me to streamline this process? I don't know how, I don't have anything specific to ask for, I just know that it could be better because it's taking us a long time. And I'll just preface this by saying not everything can or even should be automated. There are definitely some tasks that require human input to complete. So what types of tasks or processes then do suit automation? Well, here are some questions that I think are useful to ask yourself to sort of start thinking. So the first question is, what are the most repetitive tasks that you do each day? So naturally, anything repetitive that you do is potentially a process that can be automated. For instance, that could be answering or sending certain types of emails. It could be making bookings with customers. It could be updating different systems that you use, like a sales CRM, email marketing tools, or even an accounting tool. Basically, when you find yourself doing the same task, especially where the process is very repeatable, this is something that can be automated. And that's the next question, is what are the simple processes that anyone could do? So being repetitive is good, but it's sort of not enough. The process needs to be repeatable. In other words, the process should be simple enough where you could write down the instructions for anyone to do. For example, at the end of the month, when I'm doing my monthly reporting and I'm going through all my sales data, I can't really automate that because the process is quite nuanced. It requires that human input and analysis every single time. In fact, even if I could automate all that, I wouldn't. And this is where, like I said before, not everything should be automated, because I like going through that process manually, as it allows me to reconcile all the payments and make sure that there's no mistakes. I like having my human eyes go through everything manually to check that everything is correct. Sometimes doing a task manually is better, but something that helps this process is the automation I have in place that updates my sales CRM when a purchase is made via my e-commerce system. So even though that all that reporting is manual, like the deals themselves that make up that report, part of that is automated. And I can automate that because it's a very repeatable process, because all that really needs to happen is when a purchase is made on my website, I need to find the corresponding deal in my CRM, and I just need to update it, mark it as one, and do a few little bits. And so it's a very simple, repeatable process that doesn't require any special intervention. The third question to kind of get you started thinking about how to automate things is, what are the key milestones in your different processes? So, every process, I think, has certain milestones where, when achieved, they require something to happen. So, for example, when I receive a Calendly booking from a new client inquiry, this is something I would call like a milestone. Like it's a big event. I get that new booking. And when that happens, I need to add the person's contact information and booking details to my CRM, which is Pipedrive. I need to add the info to my email marketing system, which is ConvertKit. I also need to send a personal confirmation email with some information about my services and just share a bit about my background. Or when a client makes a payment for my service, this is another milestone that means I need to make more updates in my CRM. I need to create new tasks in my project management tool, which is Asana. So all these milestones, they trigger things. Things need to happen once we've reached that milestone. So thinking in terms of milestones in your sales or your project management workflow is a great way to start thinking about what to automate once that milestone has been achieved. This episode of the Paul Miners podcast is sponsored by OutFunnel. OutFunnel allows you to connect data from all your marketing apps deeply and easily. So if you use a sales CRM like Pipedrive or HubSpot, OutFunnel can seamlessly sync your contacts to an email service like MailChimp or ActiveCampaign, and it keeps your two databases in sync. And then, once you've sent an email campaign, OutFunnel syncs the engagement data, like clicks, opens, and unsubscribes, back to your CRM. It even supports lead scoring, so the more a user engages with your content, the higher their lead score. This means that you and your sales team can focus on following up with the most engaged leads and close more sales. OutFunnel is the most boring marketing tool on the planet, because you need to only set it up once, and it just works. It's the tool that I recommend the most to my Pipedrive clients and is the number one top-ranked app on the Pipedrive marketplace. To get started, you can sign up at outfunnel.com/Paul. That's outfunnel.com/Paul. And sign up before August 30th to get 25% off your first 3 months. And thank you to OutFunnel for sponsoring this episode of the podcast. Now, when working out what to automate and how to streamline your process more generally, it really helps if you can map out your process in a visual way. So before you even start thinking about how it's all going to work and what tools to use or how the automation itself is going to happen, just map out the process so that you can make sense of all the steps, and it's a really nice starting point. There are loads of tools out there that help you to map out processes. If you're not sure what to use, I recommend a tool called Miro or Miro. I've put a link in the show notes. And I've also included a link to a video that I recorded last year. It was actually a live webinar where I shared behind the scenes and shared all the different tools that I use to run my business. And I actually walk people through a Miro board showing different tools, how they're linked together, how information kind of flows around the system. And mapping out the process really helps you to identify the key milestones that I mentioned earlier and how different tools should interact with one another. So for instance, when you get a new lead, for example, maybe you need that information to go into your CRM and your accounting tool. Now, at this point, you might be asking, is all the hassle of automation worth it? Especially when you're just getting started and not as familiar with different automation tools, automating your systems may take a bit of time. And for what? You know, are you going to spend 3 hours building an automation that's going to save you 5 minutes? Is that really a good use of time? Well, what I would say is that what you're really doing here is developing a new skill set that will help you for years to come. And yeah, it might take 3 hours to figure out how to automate a 5-minute job. But the next time you're working on some automation, you are now going to be a bit more experienced. You're going to have more skills to know, okay, I can now set up this automation in half the amount of time or a tenth of the time. And once you have an automated system up and running, these systems can support you for years to come. One of the very first automations I set up in my business was to simply create a new deal in Pipedrive when I receive a booking via Calendly. I set this up in 2016, probably about June 2016. So we're looking at, what's that? 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 5 years now that automation has been running. And it's still saving me time today. And in that time, I've received over 1,400 bookings for introductory calls in those 5 years. And so let's say, you know, that automation probably saves me, I don't know, around 3 minutes for like creating the deal, copying information across, getting it all in the right place. That's for three minutes for 1,400 introductory calls. That's about 70 hours of work and time saved over the last 5 years. That's nearly 2 weeks of just data entry. And like I said before, automation also helps to cut down on mistakes. So that's 1,400 times where I haven't had to worry about copying and pasting information into Pipedrive, where I may have forgotten something or some piece of information, or maybe I set up the deal at the wrong time or something like that. So if it feels like automating your process is taking a bit of time, keep that big picture in mind. You know, you're developing a new skill set, you're building an infrastructure that's going to sustain you for years. And look, if you really don't want to go through the hassle of learning different automation tools, you can inquire to learn more about my automation services on my website. I've included links in the show notes. My colleague Warwick and I, we work with Zapier and various automation tools on behalf of our clients to automate different systems and processes. So if push comes to shove, you can always outsource it to us. So let's end this part one by talking about some examples of automation, just to get you thinking about the types of things that are possible. And I'm just going to reference some of the things that I do in my business and for my clients as well. So the one that I've mentioned already is adding bookings to Pipedrive. So yeah, when I get that booking on my website, they could be filling out a form, or in my case, they're making a booking through Calendly. I need to add that information to my CRM, which is Pipedrive. I need that to go into ConvertKit, my email marketing tool, and that then triggers email sequences to onboard people and sends information. So all of that work is done for me. I can also use automation to update deal titles and custom fields in my CRM. So as I add products and information to a deal, it automatically changes deal stages and sets specific custom fields. And this really helps me to keep the deal really clean and makes sure that important information is always filled in, so my reporting is more accurate. Something else I do is I add sales leads to a nurture campaign if a deal is lost. This is a very popular one with clients. A lot of clients ask me for this. Is maybe you have a sales process, you know, you've sent a quote or a proposal, people don't get back to you. You could automatically add those people to some kind of nurture or drip campaign in MailChimp or ConvertKit or ActiveCampaign, any number of tools. You can connect with e-commerce systems. So a lot of people run e-commerce businesses, and when a payment is made, maybe you want to update your sales CRM, maybe you need to add information to your accounting software, maybe you need to update your subscriber records in MailChimp or your other, you know, other email marketing tool. If you use a tool like Slack or Microsoft Teams, you can share information and automatic updates to Slack. So for example, in my business, when I upload a replay of one of my group coaching calls to Vimeo, a link to that replay is automatically shared in Slack for all of my customers. And then finally, you know, creating different tasks. If you use a project management system, for example, in my business, if a payment fails or if a subscription is canceled in my e-commerce program, it creates tasks for me and my virtual assistant to update various customer records and make some changes to my CRM. And so with all of these processes, what hopefully you've noticed is there's a clear trigger event and then a list of sort of actions that need to occur. And this is how most automation tools work. So in preparation for my next episode next week, it's good to start thinking about triggers, all those like milestones that I talked about earlier. Because most automation tools work in this way, where you identify the trigger, in other words, the event that needs to happen to start the automation, and then you can have the tool perform the preset actions that you've set up. So next week, I'll be sharing more about the different automation tools that I use. If there's anything in particular you want to learn, any questions, let me know in the comments, and I would be happy to answer those next week. One more time, thank you very much for listening to this episode, and I will catch you next time on the Paul Miners Podcast. Thank you for listening to the Paul Miners Podcast. Two quick things before I sign off. Firstly, if you enjoyed this episode or if you have any feedback for me, I would love it if you could leave me a review on iTunes. It really helps me to improve the show, and it helps the show to get discovered by more people so I can help more people out there. The second thing is, if you want to connect with me in person, you can become a VIP member of my website. Head to paulminers.com/VIP, where you will be able to join my private Slack community and attend bi-weekly group mastermind calls. This has to be one of my favorite times of the week when it comes up, is attending these group calls. The community is full of like-minded, productive, self-employed people, full-time workers. We have a real good mix of people in there. And I have to say, I have made fantastic friends with the people in this group. So if you want to join the community and connect with me and the other awesome members, sign up at paulminers.com/VIP. One more time, thank you very much for listening, and I will catch you next time on the Paul Miners Podcast.